This episode of Speakers of Heidelin is made possible by our generous patrons like Chris, Metallica Phalion, Scry de la Rosa, Tommy, Jojo Chaos, Ariel, Courtney, Dimos, Sprocket, Christoph Haas, Centra, Casey Schaefer, Bobby Forbidge, and Omega Cat Comet. Support the show and become a patron today at patreon.com/speakersxiv.
This is Speakers of Heidelin.
Good evening, Aorcians. Welcome to Speakers of Heidelin, episode 87. I'm Lakeel Bravestone, and I'm joined today... I just realized something.
Close-ups don't work?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yas Pot, Rollo Des, and it's just us, no Melavanadar.
We killed him.
I just got the fright. This is why it's been taking so long today. This is because we were only three people today, and it was more work than I thought. Welcome to Speakers of Heidelin, episode 87. Today, it's been a very slow news week, so not a lot of stuff has happened. There has been an interview by Yas, pronounce it for me.
Oh, yeah, online?
Mm-hmm. And so we'll be reading through that today, and we also have some other news that we'll discuss. In the great discussion today, we're going to talk about rewards from irrelevant content and how that should be, or whether or not it should be reworked or obtained in other ways. And that also includes legacy items, 1.0 items. So, also, minimum eye level, Fractal Continuum, another meme-tastic episode there. Mogmail. And remember, you can always send mogmail at speakersxiv.com/mogmail. We have a lot of mogmail today, so we're going to go through that as well. And also stay tuned, of course, for the post show, because in the post show we'll have our lore section. We're talking about Ishgard and premiering the latest episode of Secrets of a Realm, and we'll be discussing our findings there. I've actually found something pretty cool, if I have to say so myself. So look forward to that. Might actually change our perception of Lenotian history. Okay. So as I said, Secrets of a Realm is out, and for patrons only. It'll be out. Is Secrets of a Realm usually out on Sundays? Yes, they are. So that's on Sunday tomorrow for normal peasants. Today, during PAX, it's PAX East, right? I keep fucking up West and East. PAX East. They revealed that the male bunny outfit is done.
Finally.
Ha!
It's equality, guys. It finally
happened.
Hey,
I'm fine with that. It's just weird that it's, first of all, taken this long.
See, I disagree. This is not equality at all.
Is this not equality?
No, because I don't have big, luscious titties, so that's not a quality.
They did add a bustier to it. It's still there, but, so it kind of looks like you have it, kind of. It's like fake.
Lakeel, it's not good enough for me.
Listen, just because you got flat elf titties doesn't mean I can't rock
How
it.
Dare you? How dare you? Oh, my God.
That's right, I said it.
Oh,
I said it.
No, this did not happen live. How dare you? Okay, so that's... You look forward to that. That's my
if it's in the
glamour.
Log station, I'm gonna fucking flip.
Oh my
I will riot.
I didn't even think about that, dude.
If that's what happens, I will.
There's I no will. Way. There's no way that they would have the female version on in MGP and the male version on the log station.
Well,
that is, there's no way.
They had the Manderville outfit in game, and then they had the broken one on the log station.
I can see it happening.
I'm just saying.
I'm so triggered right now. I'm so triggered. I don't want it even. That's the thing.
It should be. It should be Gold Saucer.
Gold Saucer, that would be.
It will be.
Unfortunate.
Let's hope that's the case. And in other news, Eureka finally got the one update that a lot of people asked for. Which I'll get to that though. Animus Crystal conversion can now be done in stacks of 10 or 50. Hey, good. Should they do that with loot boxes too? They should do something with how the loot boxes work. Or the lock boxes, sorry.
I guess the lock boxes are probably a little harder to do.
Yeah, I realize
that. It's not like items, like all at once.
Yeah.
It's fill your inventory.
Just... Yeah, I was going to say, what about inventory space? There's like a lot of things I could see being a problem there.
Yeah, they could have like a window where like all the stuff, like, that's too complicated. No, they won't. They won't solve this.
I don't think they'll do that.
No.
And I actually don't blame them for that. The animals crystals, I'm super glad they did.
Yeah. So look forward to that. It's already out, so you can actually do it right now. Okay, so this interview that we're going to cover is with Banri Oda and Natsuki Ishiwaka. Does anyone really know what they do in
Fortnite? Oda's like the main story. He's like the main lore writer and story writer.
Okay, so you worked on the Matoya Cave Quest series. They were great because they required a little bit of deduction work. Did you enjoy working on them? Would you like to do more quests like these? We sure love having more. So remember the Matoya Quest one, the Matoya's Cave quests, the ones where you talked to like the toads and they didn't give you any information other than like the text. The journal didn't really tell you anything. Did you guys do that? Are you aware of them? Yeah.
I barely remember that.
It's lovely of you, Ishiwaka answers. It's lovely of you to say so. I would, of course, like to do something like that again, but it's not something that we can do too often. The reason for that is it's hard to think up. We have to make it clear how to solve the puzzles for the same number of pages in each language. Translating it all itself becomes its own kind of puzzle, and I'm thankful for everyone involved that helped towards it.
Interesting.
I
can imagine that's insane. Do you guys remember the one from A Realm Reborn, which was even more complicated than I can only imagine that one was nearly impossible to do, because that had like individual letter hints and stuff like that, where as the Heavensward one, if I remember, was kind of just like, hey, here's what you're looking for, here's a vague hint, go find it. And it wasn't really as complicated, you know?
Yeah, because there was just one answer to the quest, right? So there was just one place you had to go. Yeah,
and it was go to a location. The answer was so. Yeah. And in fact, I think I'm not going to lie, with one of those, so you had to find two locations, if I recall, for the quest.
Yeah.
One of them I accidentally just walked into, because as soon as you went to the location, it would stop your character.
Yeah.
And be like, you've solved the quest. Good job. One of them I didn't even try. I was just walking along and it was like, stop my character and was like, good job, you're the best.
It seems like we're not going to get a lot of these quests because of the translation stuff.
We shouldn't. I'm thinking most people do them.
What was the reward for those? Just gilling an XP?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. I believe there was a reason why I did them. I remember I did them for did they unlock something special? Did you get like nothing? Why did I do them? Maybe I just did them because I'm bored.
I did them because it was a quest thing on my map and I needed to get rid of it.
I just did them because I was born, yes.
Yeah, he was just born.
Yeah.
It was 10 gil was the reward. They literally intentionally made it a bad reward.
A sense of accomplishment. Wow. Mm-hmm. I thought there was like, okay, well, I guess I just did it
for funsies, I guess.
Okay, how do you go about writing the main scenario for Stormblood? Did you write the story piece by piece? Did you have any key events in your head from the start? Now, this sort of touches on the stuff that was, they kind of talked about at PAX East as well, I guess, because they did talk about this there. Oda says, myself, Yoshida, and Ishikawa carried out a focused 3-day meeting and decided the flow of the story. After that, myself and Ishikawa broke it down into parts and created the plot for the locations we were in charge of. Then we put the two plots together and started to add the foreshadowing and smooth any overlaps.
By the way, this is originally a French interview, so there's some weird stuff occasionally.
Pretty straightforward. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I kind of find it cool that it sounds like they each were like, you write the Garibaldian story, I'll write the Arthardian story, and then we'll just see how it works.
Yeah,
it lines up with what they said at the PAX stream too, where I think in the stream they said that it's Yoshida who comes up with the main idea. Mm. And then they sit in a fucking rented office for hours trying to figure something out with that.
Let's see. Do you want to talk about the death thing? Yes. Because I feel like we've talked about this before. Like, people don't die in 14, really. We suffered the death of some very dear friends in Heavensward. Mombrita. And luckily, Stormblood... Well, I guess we lost Papa Limo. And luckily, Stormblood has been... Wait, that was... Was that Heavensward or Stormblood, by the way, just before...
Mombrita?
No. Mombrita was Heavensward.
No.
Papalimo was last...
I don't think that's what they're talking about.
No, they're not. They're talking about the other boy.
They're talking about Elfman.
Oh, but we...
How's your father, right?
I guess.
How do you say his name?
But wasn't Papalimo... Didn't he die in Heavensward?
Who gives a fuck about Papalimo?
I wouldn't consider him a dear friend. He's been there since the beginning. Like, he's been there since 1.0.
Well, he left for a while.
One of the
he left
oldest...
for a whole expansion.
He did. That's true.
He left for an entire expansion.
it's weird because do you remember Papalimo during the Heavensward story where like he didn't do anything for the longest time, and then as like I think 3.4, 3.5 was coming out, you just all of a sudden the camera cuts to him and he gives what's at least like a weird look one day. And then that's it.
Yeah.
And then that's his thing. I'm like, I guess he's...
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah.
They just never came back.
Yeah.
Oh. He had ugly armor. He didn't get the armor upgrade.
Mombrita was a Realm Reborn, too. I mean, she was she was there for such a short time, I can't even remember where she came in. I mean, like,
nobody... When they're talking about loss, they're not talking about...
Yeah, they're obviously not.
Like, she was born to die.
Yeah. Mombrita was there to show you how to kill an Ascian, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like that guy in The Matrix who dies just to explain how to kill people.
Yeah.
She's that guy.
Yeah.
She was the biggest fucking jobber ever.
Yeah.
Just born to lose, and that's it.
Yeah. Okay, I'll read the question now. We suffered the death of some very dear friends in Heavensward, and luckily Stormblood has been a bit nicer with his characters so far. Do you get attached to the characters you create, or are you too afraid you may have to part with them soon? So Oda answers, it's not that we are attached to the extent that we don't want to let them die. However, regarding the death of a certain someone, I was against it until the end, as I thought that he was loved by so many players and it would hurt a lot of people. Regardless, Yoshida-san rightly warned that we shouldn't easily change the plot when it had been planned as such from the start. So we came to the conclusion that we did. I think we had a meeting about it 3 times, but it really is great that even now the players still love the characters that have passed away.
Okay, wait. So he says Harshafan was a deeply loved character. Were you guys super attached to Harshafan before?
Give a shit about Harshafan.
No. Okay, now I want to say something about that because from what I've heard, it's different in the Japanese translation.
Well, we've talked about this before.
He wants to bang him.
Yeah, he wants to.
It's
fuck
so strange how they changed it for the West, because I think in the other ones he also kind of alludes to it a little bit, but in the English one he's just
hard. It's very like, I want to help you.
Yeah.
House.
Why did they do that?
I'm dead.
It is very strange. I mean, I think we all know why, but it's still a little bit strange. But hey, I also didn't really... It was when he died, and I think that's how most people reacted to it. It was like, oh. It was just, oh, fuck. Afterwards, you kind of start with that, oh, no, he's dead. Oh, it's sad. And then everyone else is sad. And you're, oh, I'm super sad now, guys. It's really... But I've... Horshafon.
I mean, I like him.
I think Horshafon is great. After seeing the Japanese one, because it's so weird. Even his animations are different in the Japanese one.
I'm gonna drop some probably controversial knowledge here.
Mm.
I don't give a shit about any character in this game.
Wow.
Really don't?
That is weird.
I really don't.
You're playing 14 and you don't even care.
I enjoy the story and everything like that.
You heard it
like,
here first. He doesn't like anyone.
The way the characters, there's no like seriousness with the characters. I'm never scared anyone's gonna die. I just don't really care that much.
I was sad when like, Papalimo died. That is the Lise only
dies,
character.
I wouldn't care.
But Lisa's an ass.
She's one of the most important characters.
Yeah,
you
I don't
care.
Care
about her.
I mean, that doesn't mean that we have to care. I mean, she's just she's bad. which is bad. I don't like Lys. I never liked Lys. I liked her more as Ida, and I didn't even like Ida, because Ida was just, when she was Ida, she was just like whiny, dumb, you know, I never liked Ida either. I did, and the thing with Papalimo was that he started off as this annoying dude. I think it was mostly his voice actor that really
was bad.
Bugged
me.
And then in Heavensward, they changed his voice actor, and he sort of felt more real, because his voice actor actually gave a fuck. And he sounded his age. I mean, remember, Papalimo is like in his 40s. But in A Realm Reborn, and in A Realm Reborn, his voice was like just this clearly adult man making his voice sound like a cute, tiny little being. Which was sort of the same what happened with the Sultana, too. Remember, Sultana's original voice actor sounded like a child. And then in Heavensward, they made her an adult woman, which is, I mean, she's, what is it, 19, 17? I can't
remember.
She's
like 19, 20 or something like that.
Which a 19-year-old sounds like an adult woman, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, I think she's 19 or whatever. Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, I don't think I'm really attached to anyone because, yeah, like you said, there's no risk in the story.
I like a lot of the characters in it, but I just wish there was more. They're very, like, it's very surface level in how they explore the characters.
That's my main thing why I don't care. Like, if they were deeper, I probably would.
Like, what's that one dude that's, like, half Garlean and he's a Scion?
Arnvald.
Like, he's cool. And, like, I like that you could see his little story bits in Realm Reborn and, like, oh, I'm fucking doing shit now. But they don't go too far with it.
They're too shallow. I like
Monago too. She's cool. Show me more of her.
Yeah. I like Gaius. And then he's gone.
I like Gaius.
Because he has an interesting story, backstory as well.
I agree. Gaius was a little less surface level.
Yeah.
He's like, I conflicted. I got stuff. I'm confused.
Yeah.
You want to know who's the worst character that I like?
Okay.
Who?
Go ahead.
Ystola. Ystola is she's the absolute worst character because she's just there to be stuck up in British and be like, I don't like this. Oh. And then, but she doesn't really do anything, you know, and she's there because she's the staple FF14 character, you know, but it's like, but I still like her, but she's not much of a character.
She's literally the poster child. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all she is.
That is what she is. Because they got rid of Menphelia because no one liked her. So they just killed her. And now
They would have gotten rid of Ystola, but they would need a recognizable cute cat girl to replace her with.
Yeah.
Because
I think Ystola's a bit better in Realm Reborn, weirdly. Because she was a lot less weird and stoic. And then when she came out the live stream, she's like, I'm fucking blind now. And I'm weird.
I'm like the Oracle. Like, that was,
I'm like the Oracle. I mean, you're not wrong, actually.
Let's see. Where are we? Okay. You've been writing for 14 for a while now. What was the most difficult story you had to write? And Oda says, in terms of literary creation, I am joyfully doing it without feeling much difficulty at all. The difficulty comes with the fact that the updates are never ending and the schedule is always tight. I'm doing what I can whilst providing my brain with the sugar it needs through tea and chocolate. But thanks to that, I've definitely gained weight. So that was Oda's reply, which is something I don't really think too much about, because when you write the story for a game, right, a normal game, the story is set in stone, right? So you're done, the game's done, the lore is finished. But this game will just go on, and you just have to keep writing. So that has to be pretty hard to do as a lead writer.
Yeah, could you imagine being like, oh, this is the best story I ever wrote, guys. This is great. I'm done. Here you go. I'll hand it in. You guys start making it. Get back.
Look at FF15.
Huh, that's true. That's true.
Four new stories.
That's true. Yeah, I just read that. That is pretty crazy. But yeah, it's
Square Enix staple.
I mean, it's not too different from like a TV show, though, to be fair. Like, a TV show keeps going as well, and you have to keep writing stories and be considerate with the lore. But I think in a game like a fantasy game, where like lore is so important, it has to be like, oh god, I'm glad I don't have to do that. That sounds bad. Ishikawa has an answer as well. I'm the kind of person that makes the stress of my characters a stress of my own. So each and every time my heart and body takes a beating, when it's really bad, I end up losing my voice because stomach fluid burns my throat. What's happening? So none of that is a walk in the park. Even still, my biggest enemy would probably be myself if I was to write a story without any sadness or problems. What? Wait, this answer doesn't... Does this?
I don't get that at all. I don't understand any of that.
I think he's saying that, like, since he emphasized with his characters too much, it would be difficult for him to give them a sad ending. You know what I mean? Or to write a really something that really hurts them. It's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay. Weird answer, but fair enough. Okay, if you could change any one event from the game since The Realm Reborn, whether you wrote it or not, which one would it be and what would you change it to? Oda says, rather than rewriting anything, I would prefer to get a chance to develop some of the routes that weren't taken with regards to the story. It's hard for MMOs, as you can't really apply the notion of redoing something.
What a great answer, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really good answer, because I agree 100%. I don't think taking back anything is worth it, but explore the things that started getting built up and then they had to cut off for some other reason, because they had to move to the next expansion, and we can't be in Ishgard anymore.
The Uldah storyline, everyone?
Right.
What about that dragon statue thing, whatever, amber dragon?
Oh, the amber scale rock? Yeah. I mean, amber scale rock they could still do, because there's nothing that prevents that storyline from playing out, really. I think it's actually been touched on in... I know there's a job quest where you have to go to the amber scale rock in A Realm Reborn. Can't remember which one. But, yeah. Hey, good answer. Okay, so this one's interesting, but it has a very, very short answer. When you wrote the Crystal Tower story, you had to deal with existing lore from a previous Final Fantasy game. How do you manage to integrate this kind of content into the lore of Final Fantasy XIV? Ishiwaka says, the most important thing is to avoid what fans dislike. That's the ultimate factor in decisions, and that includes myself and the dev staff involved, as we all love the Final Fantasy series so much.
That's understandable.
You know what's weird about that, though? In Final Fantasy III, I typically recall people not liking Eureka very much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Strange. How strange. Oh. Oof. Oof.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I need to find the question. Unless there's like a really good one here. Oh yeah, here we go. For the most part, the quests and stories of Final Fantasy XIV are on the optimistic side, with endings being positive and happy for the characters. Is it a requirement for the game to have such happy stories? Is it not feasible to get a darker and more complex story, such as we can see in TV dramas like Game of Thrones, without it being violent? Okay. Here's the answer, Oda. I love the original novels that Game of Thrones is based on and have watched every episode of the TV show. But I think the problem is that the number of people that can understand... my God, don't ruin your room. The number of people that can understand such a level of intricacy is quite small. Furthermore, with an MMO, the protagonist character being played is the actual player themselves, so the effects of having a darker storyline like that would be a lot stronger than that of a novel or TV show. If someone felt a great shock when an important character died in 3.0, it is because they considered them a friend, and it could be argued that this is different to the perspective that they have regarding a character in a novel or a TV show. Therefore, even though we don't have to ensure that it is a happy story, we don't get a second chance in this case, and there are no multiple endings. That's why we feel that it's best not to make an extremely dark story. Now, it's a little bit misleading answer there. He's sort of ignoring the question a little bit, but because complex, not necessarily darker. So people are too dumb.
This, I don't think
people are too dumb.
Everyone is too dumb to understand a good story, apparently. Because anime fucking weeb shit is so low tier on story creation that they can't do any better.
Okay.
Or else no one will understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. I'm actually kind of insulted he said that, to be honest, a little bit. Because fucking, I'm pretty sure I know a lot of people who play this game that could handle a more intricate story.
Yeah.
I also know a lot of people who can't. I get it. but we're too fucking he literally says you guys are too dumb to understand the true story I want to tell.
Yeah. That is
brainless.
That is
so depressing.
Yeah, it is depressing. I agree. That is weird. And
I wish he could write the complex story he could and
they kind of went there, right, with the end of A Realm Reborn. That felt like the beginning, because remember they said that Heavensward was going to be darker and it was going to be
also
grittier.
They knew the entire time that that wasn't the final end of any of those characters. Like, they knew going into that it wasn't actually going to end up being as complex as we were led to believe it was.
Yeah, but at some point it might have. Like, before they pushed it into the game, do you think this guy actually literally said he's watched Game of Thrones? So he was probably... At some point, someone has tried to get a complex, or at least suggest a complex storyline.
Sure, but I think that there's no way that they wrote 3.5 and didn't have Heavensward written almost at the same time or just after. So they knew they were immediately going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the first few drafts of Heavensward, they had the idea of it being darker. And with, 2.5 came out and they're like, okay, we're going for the grim looking shit. But then through production, there was rewrites, I'm guessing. And then what happened? They're like, fuck it.
Because rewrites are common. Like they throw something out there and they look at the feedback and they're like, okay, this doesn't work. This doesn't fly. We have to change it. And
I will point out, we're not saying that we want Game of Thrones. I don't think anyone here is saying that. No, we're just saying we want a complex story.
That's what you call a straw man argument. That's nothing to do with this. It's more complex.
Throw the Game of Thrones. That was the question asked.
Get that out of the way.
You didn't say that.
Nothing to do with this.
What I would like is when somebody dies, for my initial reaction to be, they're probably not dead anyways.
Yeah.
Because that's literally what I say every time somebody dies. It's like, well, they're not dead. Probably not dead.
Yeah.
So remember Gosetsu? I didn't feel anything because I knew he was going to come right back.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right.
Like, I mean, it's fine with him coming back if they want him, but...
Yeah.
I don't need fake out.
Look at other Final Fantasy games. They have dark, complex story. I don't know why this doesn't have that. Why this,
Yeah. Do you know what I think it is? It's stuff like, okay, I'm gonna spoil the first disc of Final Fantasy VII right now.
Oh no!
Okay?
Oh
so
no!
Cover your ears. Cover your 1999 ears. 1997. I think they saw things like, okay, Aerith dies the end of the first disc.
Yeah.
All people talked about for like 10 years, because there was hardly an internet, is that there's a way to bring her back. There's always a way to bring her back. Yeah, she'll be there in the third disc. Oh my God, yes, she'll be there. And they see what Final Fantasy fans want over a long time. You know, people on played 10. Again, I'm going to spoil 10. Wanted Tidus to be alive at the end and wanted to somehow make it so it worked and didn't end up like the shitty end kind of. Right? And when they're writing an MMO, they have that long term, you know, like if Aerith was a character in 14, they'd be like, oh shit, people are only asking for her back. That's all they want. We should probably bring her back, right? Mm. So I think it's more of the fact that it's this long game where the single player ones are like contained and it's like, well, you're not going to get them back. It's over.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it's like, it's not over and they could come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's like, I think maybe they're just looking at how Final Fantasy fans react to death. Maybe. I don't know.
Also, I should say, I don't think we want everything to be grim dark because that's boring.
That is true.
That's also boring.
Yeah,
that's also
boring, yes. But it's like, some consequences would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just seeing things and not having kind of like the effect of it hit you because you know how things are going to end up, basically.
Yeah.
It's a little disappointing as well.
They did horse font. I'll say that. We've talked about that. That was a thing they did. I don't think he was a big enough character, or they hadn't developed him enough for anyone to care. I think the thing that people are feeling now is something that came after. This is very common.
It's like Kurt
Cobain. Yeah, it's exactly like
Like Nirvana. People are like, fuck Nirvana, it sucks.
Yeah.
Kurt Cobain dies, and they're like, Nirvana was the best band ever. He was the greatest guitar player of all time.
It happens when it's just, I don't know why it happens, but it just happens. It was also the first time we saw blood when Horsefont died. So they did try, and they
yes,
I think so. I believe I even
because there was none in the 2.55 scenes at all.
No,
that's right. Yeah, that was the first time.
They did that. But again, a very underdeveloped character, didn't really have much of a connection. I can't even think of a character right now that I would be disturbed if died.
Raoban would affect me, yes. That's
because you know what? I deeply care about Raoban.
Yeah, okay,
and, like,
fine.
In 2.55, when it, like, his fucking arm gets chopped off, like, you feel that, like, oh yeah. Shit. That's a real thing, and that's gone.
Actually, Raoban is really good. He's actually pretty good. I forgot about Raoban. Yeah, okay, fine. His story is very complex, too.
I think all of the city-state leaders are the best characters.
Yeah.
Because I think Emmerich's the best character out of Heavensward by far.
Yeah.
I do admit, what's her name? Lucia?
The lady.
Right hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
She was neat.
I thought she was a really great character, but again, not built up nearly enough. Like,
they didn't touch on her.
I think people who write this or the city state leaders tend to be the most interesting characters, with maybe the exception of Kane Senna.
I think.
Not super interesting.
Yeah, because, if the original city state leader had stayed, Ayumi-san,
correct,
then maybe there would be more depth in that character, because he was kind of more interesting than her.
Yeah, but it needs to be a girl.
I know.
I think Ilbrid too was a pretty. He was cool. I like him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was an asshole, and I like bad people.
And Merlwib has this whole storyline that we know nothing about, like when she charted the route to the new world and all that. Like, mm-hmm. She has some stuff that they could, you know, unpack. Yeah, I find it weird that people are against a more complex story than this, because 14 is kind of like a children's. Story, like a fairy tale almost, because there's always that nice happy ending.
That's actually kind of a good way of putting it. Yeah, that is true.
Which is weird, because I believe most people that play this are over the age of 18. Let's be real.
It's Peggy 16.
It is Peggy 16.
Well, but by you saying that, I don't think that that means that it's made for children or anything like that.
No, it's not made for children.
But I do get what you're meaning. It's a very they want everything to end up basically at the end of the day, when you're done and you've closed the book, that you don't have much to think about. It's like, oh, that ended well. Yeah. Like, you don't have to think and like keep stirring about it. Like, oh, how did the end, where did he go at the end? Where did she go at the end? You know, all that kind of stuff. It's just like, no, close the book and not think forever. Yeah.
And again, I feel comparing the end of A Realm Reborn to the end of Heavensward. At the end of A Realm Reborn, I was like all over the place. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Mm-hmm. End of Heavensward? Where's Stormblood?
Didn't give a shit.
Yeah. It's roller.
Like, I don't think. I think we should all say there's nothing wrong with happy endings either.
No.
You need a mix.
Yeah.
Like it's nice to feel happy and be like, this character ended up cool. Yay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if it's just that all the time, it's like it gets hard to sympathize with characters because they're just, you know, everything's gonna work out, or to some extent at least, it's just.
You know what, Rolo? That's a really good point. I think you nailed it on the head there. It's not that happy endings are bad or anything like that. It's just when everything is only ever good, you just stop feeling for that character a little bit, you know? It's because you know that everything's going to end up well for them and you don't have to be worried about them or anything like that. Like Ystola. We all saw Heavens. We saw the cut in the Stormblood trailer and we're like, how many of us actually care?
There was we like knew she wasn't going to die.
There was like three people in chat like, oh my God, she's dead. And then everybody else is like,
yeah, no,
she's not dead.
No,
she's perfectly fine. She'll get up in a day afterwards.
Yeah.
Wait, have we seen her recently in the last patch? I can't remember.
She's there.
Yeah.
Okay. Has she done anything?
No. Oh, no. Absolutely. No.
Okay. So she's still just the background bitch now.
Yeah.
I mean, they've talked about this before, like how they just rotate between the characters, so they all get their little time in the spotlight.
Except for Thancred,
because he's a man, so we don't need too much of him.
Mm-hmm. Not nearly cute enough.
Yeah. Also, Yurianjay's been gone for forever too.
Well, he's the least cute of all of them. Yeah. He covers his face. He's an elf. Fuck.
Hey, he took he had that one moment where we saw his beautiful face. Remember that?
He also actually kind of bothers me, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Why is he bothering
you? Why?
Because he's the only man in the world that goes, it is now that we are that goeth. It's like, shut up,
is
dude.
Is there like a lore reason behind that? Is it because he's like a scholar? He's really intelligent.
He's so cautious, like an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like him, but he's just, I love he speaks. Too, actually, I just, honest. Sometimes the word just go in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
Oh, again. there was a tiny twinkle of complex storytelling when, and I can't believe I'm saying this, when Mombreda died, because there was a tiny character development in Yuri Anjay when he
yes,
sort of
that was true.
Reacted to her death. And then they did nothing else with that. And, well, I guess kind of, no, they didn't. So, you know.
What was that one girl that was Shiva when she died? Because I think that was really good too.
Yeah.
I don't think she gets a lot, but she was with you for a while.
Mm. Izale was pretty good. Yeah.
I, you know what?
There are good parts of the story. Again, please remember we're running a 14 podcast. We obviously don't hate the main story, but we would
I love the main story.
We would love some less shallow story elements, let's just say that. Kind of some portions can feel shallow at times when it's just like, okay, is he gonna die? No.
And I'll be entirely honest, I feel like it has been getting more bland over time and not less bland.
Yeah, again, A Realm Reborn, end of A Realm Reborn. Perfect. I wanted that for Heavensward too.
Which is funny because I think the story sucked more in A Realm Reborn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a weird paradox.
Yeah.
But
the ending was so good. The ending was just like...
At the time, yeah.
At the time. I mean, even compare it to the ending of Heavensward.
Yeah, I think it's still
I'm just saying now it's like stupid.
I haven't seen the ending in forever, but...
I only think it's dumb because it's like...
Because we know what happened.
It has no effect on the world at all, right? Whereas like originally you're like, this changes everything.
Yeah, exactly.
It changes nothing actually, but okay.
Yeah, that's the disappointing part of it. And that's what we're discussing right now. We want that to actually have a consequence.
Even
in the trailer for Heavensward, they open with a shot of the Sultana drinking the
Raban with his arm.
Yeah, Raban with his arm. And then the ominous shot of like Uldar with the thunderbolt and seeing Lolorito, and like they didn't do anything with that. And now we're like friends with him and we're doing business. It's like, what the fuck?
He's like, hey, would you like to be my business partner?
So that's why I think that there really was a really big rewrite, because those productions for the CGI, those take forever to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that was made in old that had like a darker storyline going.
I agree with you. I think they chickened out and rewrote whatever was supposed to happen after that.
Because we're too stupid.
Also, if we're going to keep the current trend of writing, I would like it to at least be more like the Azeem Step, where actually the characters feel... Like, I like the characters a lot, and I kind of care about them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. That's that. Last question. How does the writing process work? Do you adapt the story to the gameplay, or is it the game designers that create features to tell a story? Oda says, above all else, gameplay is the priority. Player actions are what cause the story to progress and exciting developments to occur, and it's through gameplay that this happens. Ishikawa, even though there's moments when it seems the story is the be-all and end-all, in reality, all we're trying to do is make the most exciting video game possible. Story is a part of that, but not the only part, and that's true for creating MMOs or offline games. Yeah, no surprise.
Yeah, I mean, gameplay comes first, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. As it should.
Yeah.
That's the interview from what was the? You say it again. Yes.
Online, was that it?
Yeah.
You got it. Close enough. Anyway, it's probably a little wrong, but whatever.
I'll speak
the
French.
The top half is in French. The English is below. So if you want to read the full interview, just go there and scroll down.
Yeah.
Or if you're French, you can just read the French interview.
Tell us how wrong we are in the comments when we pronounce things.
Okay, that's our main stories. So now it's time for all the other stuff. We have a good, great discussion, so I'm not worried. As usual, I'm not sure if we're doing minimum eye level or great discussion first. Let's do minimum eye level first, just to get that out of the way.
Okay.
And then we have to remember to pull the next dungeon afterwards. So we did Fractal Continuum, which is a Heavensward 3.0 dungeon, level 60, eye level 145. So that is the minimum eye level.
It's the maximum, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I think that's the maximum.
It usually lists the minimum.
Oh, no, that would be minimum.
Yeah, that's minimum. And it's in the level 60 roulette. So this is the normal fractal, everyone. It's probably been a while if you haven't done the level 60 roulette and gotten this. Do you guys remember this run? I mean, I gave you a little reminder.
We lost our minds at one point. It definitely felt like.
That's probably why I don't remember.
This is when I drank like two energy drinks before.
Oh,
that episode. We're on bath salts. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, I did because I did that for the podcast as well, the day before, and then I just kept doing it the next day. And I'm not doing that again. So
stop doing this to your body, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna die. Okay, here we go. Oh, we're all gonna die in the end. Here we go. Here's some wise ominous words there. Here we go. Here's minimum eye level of the fractal continuum. Okay.
Oh.
Welcome back, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome. Okay, let's get the next minimum eye level dungeon.
What are we betting on? Baylor shows wall.
What am
on.
I betting on? Karn hard.
We've done Karn.
We did that.
We did Karn. Yeah. We did both.
We've done both, yeah.
We've done all the hard modes, like, at this point, actually, haven't we?
It feels like it, yeah.
Oh, man, I'm only thinking of dungeons we've done now. Have we done Amdapur Keep hard?
No.
That's my guess, then.
Okay. God, that dungeon is shit. Okay. Rollo, did you pick one?
Yeah, Baelish's Wall.
Oh, yeah, Baelish's
Wall. Caddy's Wall.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll do, of course, Aurum Veil. Oh, God, I am so afraid. Okay, well, we have... Oh, there's two in here. What if one of them is Aurum Veil? I'm just removing Aurum Veil from it now. Or maybe the other way around. Okay. Oh,
let's see.
I think I'm trying not to see through, but I can kind of see the outline. Yeah, we're doing Zamal Darkhold, everyone.
Oh.
Classic. Oh. Classic. Finally.
French name.
Finally a 1.0 dungeon, eh? And you know what we have to do? We also have to do the Wheel of Death. Wheel of Doom.
Oh, God.
Well, we don't have a name. We don't have a name for it yet, but
spin that wheel.
Let's spin the wheel.
I hate the wheel.
The Wheel of Doom is okay. Let's see. Spin. Okay. Here we go. Here's the wheel, and I've made no left side and DPS only healer smaller, so there's a less chance of landing on those now.
DPS only healer is ridiculous.
3, 2, 1, let's spin the wheel!
Ah. Well, I'm glad it was DPS on the healer.
No job crystals.
Oh my god, I'm scared now.
It's a long wheel.
No job crystals.
Yeah, no job crystals!
Thank god.
Mm-mm-mm.
You did call it.
I did. I'm fucking a master.
So no...
The day we get no cure healer is just the day we don't ever finish the item level. We never finish minimum item level that day. It's done.
Hopefully it's for like a level 60 dungeon so you can heal yourself, as a paladin.
That'll be nice. I'll go as a conjurer, and Rollo, you'll go as
a rogue.
Oh, Mela can't go red mage then.
No, he can't. So he has to go as...
Thaumaturge then. Because,
You will be a lowly...
Gladiator.
Gladiator? Yeah, okay.
It means I don't have any skills at all?
No. So you're going to have to hold aggro with no stances.
Hold up, guys. Hold up. If this is a level 60 dungeon, we're fucked.
It's not a level 60. It's
right, small dark but if hole. This happens with a level 60 dungeon, we're done.
We'll do it.
We'll do
we won't
it.
Have any skills from 50 to 60.
We'll be fine.
Let's do Mogmail. We don't actually have the intro for this on... actually, we do. What the fuck? Okay.
Boop, boop.
Here's Mogmail. We're going to do Mogmail. You're not gonna getting mail. Hold on. So, was there audio on that? I'm not sure if it was, actually. It doesn't matter. So, we're doing Mogmail now. Remember, you can send in Mogmail at speakersxiv.com. /Mogmail. There was a fourth Mogmail that I sadly haven't been able to render. Let me just find them. Did I put the Mogmail in the show notes? What a mess.
But who was Mogmail?
Five in the show notes. That's what's confusing me.
Was Mogmail? What?
Wait, there's five in the show notes.
We have five, then it's the... Oh my god, this is a mess.
Oh boy.
I don't know where the Mogmail went, but I don't have it here. So I'll just have to read off the screen. Okay, that's fine. I'll sort it out. Okay, Mogmail. Our first Mogmail is brought to us by... Kikyo Crow from Behemoth. Finally had it. Okay, let me just get some Mogmails up here. Okay, wait, is this correct? Finally had a chance to watch one of your streams live, and it happened to be your 12-hour stream. Really enjoyed the stream, and always enjoy your content. Keep up the great work. Oh.
We always end up playing it twice.
It's always twice. Like... I don't know. It's fucked up. So yeah, thank you for that. Our 12-hour stream was last week.
It was fun. We did little giveaways. Yeah. I was dying at the end. It was great.
Yeah, it was actually the first 12-hour stream that we actually did the full 12 hours.
No one died.
No one died, and no one fell asleep.
Sea of Thieves was
pretty bad.
So I had fun. Boys, Xbox like live on the Windows 10,
man.
Fucking atrocious. Oh my god, just put it on Steam.
Yeah.
Just put
on Steam. Roland and I were talking for like what, 2 hours trying to just get a free trial?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, fucking nonsense.
And then installing it was an issue as well, because sometimes the store had an error while installing.
I actually also need to remember to just cancel.
Yeah, oh yeah, cancel.
So I don't get
remember
charged
that.
For it.
Yeah. It's sad because Rare is, you know, I was hyped that Rare had made a game again, like not some Kinect knockoff weird game, but
to be honest, Rare isn't the same company it used to be anyways.
No,
anybody working on those games is, they're all, yeah.
We should play it one more time before we cancel our subs, things, though.
We probably should.
Mm. Probably maybe like a Friday hangout or something.
Maybe one day. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll figure it out. Okay. Next one is from... let's see if I can do it now. There's some...
I linked them in the Discord as well, so you can read it off there.
Oh, okay. So next one's from... let's see if it's rendered correctly. Miles Sainsborough from Balmung. The Beast Tribe started off as being antagonistic with a few friendly tribes, and as the story progressed, the new tribes we keep meeting went from being mostly neutral to being on your side, with the more antagonistic ones being a dangerous minority, such as the Ananta and Kojin, being friendly and helpful to us off the bat. What do you think of the Beast Tribes, how they changed over the story, and what would you want to see from future tribes?
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think, though, it seems to me that maybe our character and like the people we associate with, it's not that the Beast Tribes are nicer, it's that we have kind of figured out how to find the nice groups inside of the Beast Tribes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because like the Kojin still hate our guts and they try and kill us constantly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Red Kojin are brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they attacked at 4.2 even.
Exactly.
4.1, yeah. Sorry.
Right. So I get it. Like, I think it's more our ability to just find the people who are willing to work with us, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah. I agree. I've never been a fan of the Beast Tribe quests. It's fine. I just recently did the Realm Reborn ones I just did the, what's it called? The fish people. Sahagin. And the and the
fish boys
and the Ixal. I did see some interesting numbers on FFXIV census that the Sahagin one is the least popular one. It's the one the least people
over
have
Ixal.
Finished. Yeah.
Wow, that surprises me. I would have expected Ixal to be in last.
But I guess Ixal has that incentive that you can level crafters on it, maybe that's why. And it's very easy to accumulate points, that because you get a lot of points if you do the weekly,
you really do,
and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's like the positioning of that Beast Tribe as well, like it's in like this annoying spot and it's just Sahagin.
There's no quick route to it,
and the quests are really bad. Like, you have to go to that island, like sometimes you have to do the Sharknado fate and all that. Remember that?
Going up way north sucks.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
But so does Ogamora Mines.
That's true. That's true. So, I don't remember what the numbers were for those, but the others were kind of even. So Sahagin, was Sahagin one of the later ones they added? Maybe, maybe that could explain.
No, it wouldn't have been, because that was with, that would have been with,
yeah, Ixal was the last. No, wait.
No, maybe that wasn't the Leviathan patch. Was it the Leviathan patch?
No.
Probably not, actually. Maybe it was early. I was kind of basing it off the Leviathan patch, but those could be totally unrelated, actually.
Can't remember. No, I think Ixal was last. They ended with a crafting one, just like they did in Heavensward, didn't they? Did they end it with that crafting in Heavensward?
It I can't remember. The movies? Wait. Was it the first one?
What? No.
No, it was the second one. Second set. Oh, they added really? Sylphs and Amalja in 2.1 and Kobolds and Sahagin in 2.2. Ixali were in 2.35, and then there was none for the rest of our Realm Reborn.
Right.
What do you guys want from Beast Tribes in the future?
I do want another crafting one. I mean, I don't need one.
No.
Obviously, I have my crafter's level, but I would like... I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
How about a gathering one?
Well, see, because the Ixal had some gathering stuff involved in it.
They did, yeah.
Which I would like for them to go back to that, personally.
Mm-hmm. They could like have like a beast tribe that was both crafting and gathering, so you could like pick if you wanted to do gathering, or maybe like one gathering NPC and one crafting NPC. Because it's like, kind of weird that they only lean towards crafting and leave like gathering out there.
I'd like some more physical changes in the world you can do, like the Moogle beast tribe and the Ananta, seeing like them change the
area change. Yeah,
like it's cool because like it's like it feels more impactful because like I made that change myself.
Yeah.
You feel your effect in the world, and it's nice.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Especially when it's like a obvious permanent change. That's even better.
Yeah,
the forever dancing Asgardians and.
Yep.
Yeah.
Always there.
And just the fact that the whole plaza got like redone and everything.
Yeah.
So
you look
like you restart the game and you're like, oh, gross.
Yeah, it looks so empty and sad. It's like,
Heavensward ones were I felt more enjoyable. I always felt the Heavensward one. I don't know why.
I like the stories in them a lot.
But the Stormblood ones are the Ananta. I love that one. I don't like the other one, the turtle ones.
I'll
but
be
the
honest,
Ananta ones are so quick and they're just by the camp, so you can just like do it in 5 minutes.
The quests are great. However, I don't know what's been up with. I think this is a me problem. I don't think this is a game problem. I haven't been paying attention to Beast Tribe quests at all so far, and I haven't really been enjoying the story as much. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because I'm just done kind of over Beast Tribe quests in general.
Yeah, that might be it. I've heard people talk about the Ananta story as being fantastic. But I haven't, I'll be honest, I haven't really paid much attention either.
I think I peaked with Vath, because the Vath were so, it was like my favorite, it was by far my favorite Beast Tribe storyline. Like, Deftarm is my brother forever. He's the true warrior. Maybe that had something to do with it, where I'm like, we've peaked. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what? Okay, this is wild, and this is probably never going to happen, but I think it'd be really cool. I know they always talk about expanding companions, but maybe one day if they do, if you complete a beast tribe, you can get a companion from that beast tribe. The
thing is what you're describing sounds a lot like trust NPCs.
Yes, bring them back.
I wouldn't go there if I were you.
Bring them back.
But
even if it's not trusted NPCs, make it just work like the chocobo and that you can summon somebody
it
for
would
combat.
Just be cosmetic.
That's a trust NPC.
A chocobo is already a trust NPC though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So if it's just so you mean like you can summon two, so you can have your chocobo and this other companion out. Now then we're. Now it's Maybe. Getting 11-y. That's probably...
Now it's getting 11-y.
Probably not the time for that yet, but it would be nice if we could... I think you can only have one of them out. That would be nice.
I will agree. Actually, as much as my gut reaction was to go, oh God, I actually agree with you. I think it'd be really cool to have skins like that.
Yeah. Maybe give them slightly different abilities. I mean, they won't really matter in the long run because it's just the overworld, but I mean, it'd be neat.
Yeah. Mm. It'd probably just be the same attacks, but with different names. Because having Choco Dash on a snake, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
Or they just do their normal attack animations that you've seen like in the overworld mobs and all that.
Yeah, that would be cool. I would like that. Also, yes, people talking about retainers, having Beast Tribe retainers. That'd be cool too.
I'd like a little bath boy.
Kind of pointless, but I still think the customized retainers is kind of pointless. I keep getting flack for that. For it. Yeah. Oh god.
You'd have to pay to have it as your trust NPC.
Stop making me upset.
I'm sorry.
$29.99 on the
Mog. I'll stop bringing up the Mog Station.
Yeah. So thank you, Miles Sainsbury, for that.
Thanks for the question.
Thank you for the question. And here is our next from Tamir, my boy. It's your boy again. This time I wanted to ask if you ever had a moment in the game where you accidentally did something amazing or badass, and that will always stand out in your memory and you'll never forget. By that I mean something like finishing something just in the nick of time, managing to salvage a dungeon run, etc. For me, it would be finishing the level 30 rogue quest at the last second before the fail condition was fulfilled. Yes?
Oh, I have one, definitely. Mm-hmm. This actually did not happen to me, but I was in the group and watching it, and it saved or killed my life.
Right.
It was during 07 Savage when virus is going off, and there's Allegan Rot and Searing Wind and the tethers that pull you together. Or no, they push you away or something. I don't remember. Oh, no, Searing Wind pushes you away. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And somebody got past Rot and accidentally ran into the corner. That's normally a wipe because it's rot. You're not going to be able to pass it. It's going to explode. Everyone's going to die.
Yeah.
But they ran together as Searing Wind blew off, and it was like, boom, and they went apart. But they touched for like one pixel, like one pixel touched. And if you've ever dealt with Allegan Rot, you know how hard Allegan Rot is to pass sometimes. You'll be standing on each other for like 3 seconds and it doesn't get passed. It's really strange.
Yeah.
But somehow, some way, it passed. And it was just like, and then everything was fine. I think we cleared, actually.
Wow. That run. Wow.
It was absolutely amazing.
That's pretty wild. Rollo?
I was doing Byakko X. And you know the part where Byakko grabs somebody and he throws them into the AoE? You have to stack for that with different groups?
Yeah.
So I was in the first group when I did my snap mechanic, whatever. And then I was playing Red Mage during the time. Mm-hmm. And people fucked up really badly. And so there was just one person standing in the AoE, so the fucking tank doesn't die.
Yeah.
But I wasn't paying attention. I was just doing my normal Red Mage combo, and then I just displaced into it, and I instantly die because I have a debuff. But I saved them. Nice. And they're like, oh man, you did it. Yeah. Like,
you're the best.
Planned.
Wow.
Planned.
See, I can't remember anything. Like, I forget, like, I play the game and I forget the next day. I remember, I can't even remember, like, minimum my level the next day. I can't remember.
The way of the videos to remember.
Yeah. I do remember the time we barely, the first time we cleared, this is an old memory, this is when we cleared, the first time we cleared turn 5. Of coil. Wow.
That's real old.
And it stuck out because we did it. I love Vero, but you know Vero. Vero was on the raid team for no reason. And she was never alive, usually. And but she was very good at like remembering, you know, the patterns. I just told her there's a pattern. You go there, you go there, you go there, and eventually we did. She did good. And then we died. We had a really shitty run. And then there was just this one moment of clarity. Everyone else had died. It was just me. It was Vero, and I think Lonigan might have been alive. He might have been dead. It was really bad. But Wintani had like 1% health, and I see like Vero just using an auto attack, and Wintania dies. I will never forget that. And then
she killed Wintania with an auto.
Oh my god!
And then
as a bard?
As a bard, I think it was. Yeah. So you know,
was it barraged?
She was probably barraged. Probably.
I hope so.
I don't know. We have it on video, I think. But the best part about it is we clear it for the very first time. The bow drops. She leaves the instance.
That is so sad.
She rolls. Everyone passes. She rolls on the bow and she leaves. Unable to obtain.
Wait, did it hit the floor?
Yeah.
Oh no!
Oh my god!
Oh, so that was
that
great.
Is so sad.
Oh, holy shit! I've ever heard. Anyway. That wasn't even like a heroic moment. That was just amazing.
I was just it was just Vero being Vero. Okay.
Oh baby.
Okay. Let's go into the great discussion. The great discussion topic today is: should rewards from irrelevant content be reworked or obtained in other ways? So, backstory: there's a lot of content in 14 that is hard to get, and some of the content is impossible to get, such as the stuff from 1.0, also known as legacy items, and achievements. Achievements also from A Realm Reborn, I believe, are unobtainable, right? From events.
There are some.
Yeah.
Well, events are, yes.
Yeah, those are gone forever.
Gone. As well as some of the PvP ones are not obtainable anymore.
Right. What do you think is the best? So first, okay, so do we want to, because I feel like the discussion is, there are two sort of discussions here. It's the legacy items and the other items. I feel like the legacy items are its own little thing that we shouldn't mix into it yet, right?
Okay.
Do we want to start with the A Realm Reborn ones first? So the stuff that we can't get in A Realm Reborn. That was in A Realm Reborn at some point. So the PvP ones, for instance. We've discussed this before. You can only get them if you participate in that season and you get a certain rank or whatever and you get the title and you get the mount and you get the stuff. When the season is over, it's gone.
I believe the mount's unobtainable now, right?
As far as I know, yes.
The Hellhound?
Yes. Yeah.
Which I find strange because I understand that they want to have it so you placed high in said season, here's that season's reward. I understand that, but wouldn't it be more incentive for most people to play PvP if it was like you get to choose from the rewards that exist? So like if I win, if I get all the way to platinum, me personally, I don't want the armor.
Right.
I would take them out. I would personally take them out. If I knew that I could, then I might actually try a little harder to get them out because I missed out on it. And that is a mount I want. It's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah.
But it's kind of strange that it's not a choice.
That is true. Yeah. Because they are usually very fond of like reusing or reintroducing stuff into the, so they don't have to make new stuff all the time. So it's weird that you don't have like, yeah, you've made it to this rank, select a prize. Because we already have the
tickets.
The tickets. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
So it is strange. Yeah, I agree. They should definitely do that because we know the other option. Mog station.
Oh, well, or the other option is it stays exclusive forever.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't believe.
It's
been three years of that mount being unobtainable, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I think PvP stuff specifically should definitely be, I mean, because barely anyone plays PvP, like straight up. Do you guys participate to get those items at all?
No.
No.
Do people in the chat do? Or any YouTube comments, do you guys? Just be honest.
There is a PvP community, but it is very small.
There is.
Yeah.
I
agree, yeah, because although it is weird, I agree with both of you, because I think once you've reached the rank, I think you should be able to pick your prize. But I also think that it should remain within PvP. So that, because there is very few incentives to play PvP in 14. It's bad. The PvP in 14, everyone knows that. PvP in 14 is pretty bad.
It's so, better now, but it's still bad.
Yeah. Compared to other MMOs, at least. So they need this incentive. And I completely stand, I'm 100% behind that. But yeah, making the Hellhound disappear forever, that is weird. And that makes me worried. Because maybe it'll come back at the Mog
station. I mean, the same thing we all know exactly because of I never even thought about that. The Mad Scientist chair that's coming up, which is also going to be locked in the exact same way.
Yeah, yeah.
I assume it's going to be locked in the same way anyways.
Yeah.
But again, why not place platinum? What do you want to choose? You want armor? You want a scientist mount? You want a hellhound? Pick your poison.
Yeah.
And then, hey, if I picked one of those mounts, maybe I got myself to platinum. Maybe I'm a little more used to PvP now. Maybe I'll do it again and get the other one.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do it again to get the armor because I'm committed at that point.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, giving people, as you said, Lukiel, more incentive is always welcome.
Yeah.
Always welcome.
I agree. It's yeah. So I think we all kind of agree on that. That we should just make the old. Don't make everything disappear. Just make it an option.
I would say if they don't plan on making PvP any better, just fuck it. Just make it available somehow. Cause like,
but make it in game.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, don't put it in the mock station, please.
There's enough on the mock station now. We don't need more.
Hey, I checked how much items were on the mock station.
How much was it, Rollo?
Well, 400 something items. That is including sets, and I don't think it includes dyes. Hmm. We have 400 something items on the mock station. While WoW has less than 40, I think, and they're mostly mounts and minions.
Are you serious? Oh.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Our cash shop for a pay-to-play strictly game is awful compared to others.
Wow, that's actually really crazy.
Mm-hmm. Not even Dragon Quest X, a Square Enix MMO, has a cash shop. At least aside from account services, I think.
Yet. I mean, yet. 11 doesn't have one, but the systems probably won't handle that. It's too old. But we talked about Mog Station before. We've already done that.
Not again.
Yeah, but we have to talk about it when we talk about stuff like this. The other thing is like seasonal events have titles sometimes. Do they have that still? I believe.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
That's a good
some
question.
Used to have achievements.
Most of them did.
Yeah.
Actually. I haven't checked. More. I have not checked in a long time.
I can't remember.
They might. I think they might still.
I can't remember. Dude, we didn't get one from this event. So it's been a while since I received an achievement.
Yeah, we didn't get one for Little Ladies Day, did we?
No.
Because you did Starlight. No.
Because you got
okay,
that,
maybe not.
You got that in. You got for Little Ladies Day at least in 1.0 as Princess or Prince for a day. Also the peach branch and the sugar.
Right.
But maybe only the 1.0 events had titles.
I think
that's
they did.
What I'm mixing it with.
Well, and Realm Reborn ones and Heavensward ones did have a lot of titles.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, no, they did. Yeah.
So those are difficult because Square Enix does not sell titles. Yes.
Does not sell titles. Exactly right.
Just make them available during events again whenever they come back.
I think they should.
Yeah.
Same thing with items. Just make them available again. It's
It's
a title. Who cares?
Yeah. Right. And it shouldn't be too hard to put the title back into the quest. Like if you already have the title, obviously you don't get the title, but. It's a way to, and I don't know. It's there's also that exclusivity to it. You know, you did that specific event, you got that specific title. I like exclusivity sometimes in games. I feel like it should be, but
it's a hard balance to strike.
It is.
Personally, for me, I think an exclusivity period is the best way to handle that stuff because I know. I'm just trying to put myself in other people's shoes where, I think all three of us have that advantage. We've all been playing since day one, right?
Yeah.
Are you Rollo?
No, I started playing in 2.4.
2.4. Okay. Well, so then even for Rollo, holy shit. Even for Rollo, those things are gone and they will never be gone. And it's not that he missed it. It's that he wasn't aware of the game yet or blah, 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 which isn't his fault, is
right,
it?
Right, that's
that
true.
They didn't make him aware of the game. So I'm torn because I want to say, like, I feel like I deserve this stuff. I was there. I was playing since beta. Of course I should have all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I technically deserve it more than somebody who wasn't playing. But as I also get that if somebody wasn't around, they weren't around. It's not their problem, you know?
Yeah.
And they should kind of have an opportunity. So I'm torn on it. To be honest, I am kind of torn on it.
It's hard.
With 1.0 stuff, I think I should just...
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about 1.0. Because 1.0 was a whole game, and it had its own achievement system. It had its own special stuff that is completely unobtainable today. And it has been unobtainable since the Calamity. And a lot of people have... Like ever since A Realm Reborn launched, basically, been talking about how unfair it is that there are players in this game that have mounts, titles, items, gear that only existed in a game that they cannot no longer access.
I'm so incredibly torn.
Mm.
Lucio, can you tell me what are the specific legacy items that you get? Like specifically for being a legacy player, not like items that are unobtainable or that you had on yourself.
So stuff you only got because you played 1.0.
Not yeah, like the tattoo and such.
You got a legacy tattoo on the back. You mm-hmm. get a legacy chocobo, which is basically a chocobo with black feathers or at the end. That's basically the base stuff that you get. And then the Gabu was part of a quest that you did, but it was even limited in 1.0. So limited, in fact, I didn't get it on my mule, which is Lekeel. So it's I think it was just for one patch, I believe, that Yoshi P or his character would, the Wandering Minstrel would be standing near Red Rooster's Stead, I think. And he would give you a quest, and if you did that, you got the Gabu. So yeah, we can add the Gabu in there. Of course, people think about the Gabu with the rug. That is a legacy item. So yeah, those are the basic stuff that you get. And then there's of course the horn that you got for beating Nail. There was also a slew of titles. The gear. Just the basic stuff, like the gear you started the game in. I say started the game in. You didn't actually, I don't think, because I've seen the Ellison. That was the underwear. I don't think the Ellison underwear survived the calamity.
God, I wish, dude. It's so good.
But yeah, you had your underwear too. The underwear resist, which is a well-worn undershirt. I think you can actually buy that specific item off the mock station. But the starting gear was like a weathered either robe or shirt and stuff like that. Does not exist in A Realm Reborn. It was unique, untradeable. And yeah, so that's the stuff people discuss. Mostly the chocobo and the tattoo, it seems, but also the gabu and the achievements. Yeah.
The mount, so most personal. All those things exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't matter that much, especially the titles.
Yeah.
A lot of them are just reskins of items you can already obtain, like especially the gabu, which just you can just get the normal gabu. It's not that much different.
Mm-hmm.
The tattoo, I mean, it would be nice if they made new tattoos or something, uh-huh. but I don't think it's super important or even that desirable.
No.
What about titles and stuff?
The titles are very.
But
I don't know.
But let me.
I'm not big on titles in the first place.
Let me put something. Okay, because I can. I see the side that wants the title. Because some of the titles are really good.
Absolutely.
But there's like especially one that people want. Is it the Wandering Shadow or whatever? Wandering something. The one you get for attuning to all the Aetherites and Ethereal Gates in 1.0. That one was very high. Like if you had that in 1.0, you were a king or queen. Because you look at the map of 1.0 and just think about the fact that there were mobs that, I shit you not, were so high level they couldn't display them. It was just question marks. In a game where 50 was the max cap, they had level 99, like, I don't know 99, but 90 monsters running around. So stuff was hard to get to. So if you actually went through the trouble of doing all that, you could go to an NPC and get an achievement title. And that title, I think, should remain exclusive, because Eorzea today is too easy. Like, you attune to the Aetherites through the main scenario quest, right? So some titles I don't think translates well to A Realm Reborn.
No, but do you don't think they could find a different way to, like, work them all together?
But then that will lessen
the
weight of the title.
For example, for that exploration-based title...
Mm-hmm.
What about attaching it to something like the extremely hard, very rarely done A Realm Reborn sightseeing logs?
Hey, yeah.
What about attaching it to something like that? That took me, I had to wake up at 3 a.m. to finish it because I had to research ahead of time when that window would be open or where rain could be possible in the desert.
That's true.
Sitting by a gugu for 15 hours. You know, like, that was pretty shitty.
Does it, it only gives you like a mount? No, sorry, a
it gives
minion?
You an Apcal fledgling, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I do think that most of the time there is a place you could work stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where I'm really torn, because I played 1.0 briefly, and I feel like I was punished because they made such a shitty game that I didn't want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I being punished that they made such an atrociously bad game that I couldn't stick through it?
You're not.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean you're not really being punished.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, in a sense, it's like I missed out on all this stuff. that I wouldn't have missed out on if they had made a good game to begin with.
Yeah.
You know,
but you also have to think about the fact that they're rewarding the ones that paid for the game to become a Realm Reborn. Like, it is
sure. I mean, yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
We had to like go through all that shit, and it was shit.
Well, but here's the thing: why I'm actually mad is because the only reason I didn't get legacy status was because they stopped using the sub. You couldn't pay for your sub anymore. That's why I missed it.
They did stop, but then they restarted it again.
I played for longer than 3 months, but I didn't get legacy because I couldn't pay my sub. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So I couldn't, like, even though I played long enough, it was like, nah, screw you.
But you had to pay, because there was like a window you had to be paying for.
And I wasn't in that window. So it's like...
I mean, could you not still get the legacy tattoo?
Mm-mm.
I can't remember how all this worked.
Had to sub for 3 months.
Okay. Well, that's just how it is. I mean, the stuff isn't really the titles I get because I understand it's infuriating.
I'm the total opposite. Titles, I'm like, nah, whatever.
The items, I'm like, what the fuck? The mounts aren't even like they're not even
a mount collector.
Yeah, but it doesn't count on your overall thing, does it?
Oh yeah, it does.
Does it? I thought that was.
Oh yeah, it does.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's just how it is. I think there are two mounts from 1.0. I would have got
two mounts.
It would have been fine if it was like if we had like 20 or 50 mounts in 1.0 that you could not obtain.
I get that for sure.
These are just two, and one of them is a fucking chocobo. Like,
yeah,
come on, it's and a gobu. We already have a gobu, so it's. Eventually, though, this is what I think is going to happen.
The tattoo, I might have it. I just don't use the same character because I didn't get anything anyway. So I was like, fuck it.
But because you're, all characters, I think, that was on a 1.0 legacy server would get that regardless, I think. Anyways, what was I saying? I forgot what I was saying. Fuck.
You're talking about titles and then mounts. Mm-hmm. You're okay with those.
Damn it.
The gavus or I don't know.
No, shit. I completely lost track of what I was saying. We have to wrap it up too. Damn it.
I'll say this. As a person who played after 1.0 and started later, I have absolutely no desire for those 1.0 items.
Oh, yeah.
They mean nothing to me. They are...
What about event stuff from that you missed? From
event stuff,
they can bring that back.
That does. I do wish it was like every... year those event came back, you can just do it again. And
I mean, I'm actually okay with the Mog Station in that respect. I'll be honest.
Yeah, I don't care. But
you missed it. You can pay $2 and get it.
That's fine. But the titles, I think they can add from 1.0 and put back into the game. That I'm fine with. Put the achievement titles for the 1.0 things, whatever.
Yeah, so we're totally flipped on that. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Here's what I think is going to happen. The thing is, I'll give them credit for this. They've actually kept the legacy stuff exclusive. And they haven't. Mm-hmm. They haven't added anything, except
well. In Korea, you can rent a legacy chocobo.
Korea doesn't count.
Well, it kind of counts.
Korea does not count. Korea is.
I mean,
is again quoting Mal, topsy turvy land of Final
Fantasy
XIV.
The Chinese stuff makes its way here eventually.
We're getting the devil and angel costumes, guys.
Listen. Korea and China didn't play. They had no access to 1.0. Give them everything. Give them the titles. Give them the legacy chocobo. Give them the gobu. Tattoo. I don't care.
They were designing stuff. They designed the little shitty bad red Fenrir.
I'll be honest. I'm going to say something really controversial. I don't consider like the Chinese 14 and the Korean 14 to be Final Fantasy 14. To me, that's topsy turvy.
Really? I don't think that's very controversial. To be honest,
it's
they
the same
get
game.
Weird shit. They're segregated. Like we can't connect to them. They're like completely not into the main game. We can play with Japanese players. We can't
different
play with
patch
Koreans.
Cycles.
Yeah, they're all different. The patch
items in game,
yeah,
it's different censorship. I think I agree. It's not the same game.
Yeah.
No, because it's just they're different markets, and so things do have to be treated differently. But you still get the same experience from playing FF14.
Guess what else is a different market though? Canada and Norway are very different markets, and yet we both play the same game.
Well, and no, because the way that the West at least treats video games.
Stop
and how
defending
we play them,
Korea and China,
Robert. Which is an Eastern video game, by the way, we're playing, not a Western game.
I am saying that the way that we play entry video games are the same. Mm. But in South Korea and China, you go to a fucking net cafe to play video games. And so you have to cater to that stuff. That's the main way people
topsy-turvy. It's topsy-turvy land.
It's just different.
It's Final Fantasy 14 topsy-turvy online. Now, we have to end the podcast. Thank you guys for watching this episode of Speakers of Wildland, episode 87. Remember to follow us on Twitter at speakersxiv.com. Facebook. twitch.tv/speakersofheidlin, youtube.com/speakersxiv, exclamation Discord in chat if you want to join, if you're watching live, and links in the description if you're watching in recording.
Send us mogmail!
speakersxiv.com/mogmail. Stay tuned for the post show. We're going to premiere the latest episode of Secrets of a Realm, and in the lore section, Ishgard. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back next week if you're not following the post show. Bye!
Bye!